Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Father God, I thank you that you are present in this place today. Thank you that the last week of your life showed us that we are welcome in your presence no matter what we're feeling, what we're thinking, where we are at. Because you welcomed those who were hopeless in that last week of your life, and those who were grieving, and those who were searching, and those who were fearful and confused and frustrated and doubting. You even welcomed those who had lost faith, those who were cynical and mockers, and those who denied you, and even those who worshipped you. Your cross and your crown are a reality despite our thoughts and feelings. And so today we want to thank you for your work on the cross. We want to bring all of who we are, our thoughts, our feelings, our frustrations. We want to bring who we are to you today. And we want to ask you to speak deeply into our hearts and souls. In your mighty name we pray this. And everybody said, amen, amen. I feel like we could worship all day, couldn't you? Welcome today, Thrive. Isn't it incredible to be here on Good Friday? You know, last year we had all our Easter advertising out and everything, and then we got locked down. It was the worst moment of my life. I know that's a little dramatic, but the truth is I really grieved the gathering together, and so I am so grateful that you are here in the building or watching online with us today as we just take a moment to think about the sacrifice that Christ paid for us. You may be seated. So it's really, really great that we're here together. At the start of this year, Byron and I got addicted, and I'm really ashamed to say, but it was addicted to watching the Netflix series The Crown. Anybody seen it? Give me a wave. Yeah. All right. So The Crown is a drama series about the political rivalries, the romance of Queen Elizabeth II, also about the events that shaped the latter half of the 20th century. And it is quite a riveting drama if you get into it. So for those of you who have not watched the Netflix series The Crown, we're going to turn our eyes to the screen right now and watch the trailer.
It would help if we could decide here and now on your name.
My name?
Yes, ma'am. Your regnal name. And that is the name you will take as queen.
Let's not overcomplicate matters unnecessarily. My name is Elizabeth.
And long live Queen Elizabeth.
Don't you get sick of it all? And lonely?
I do. Which is why it's so important to have the right person by your side.
You understand the titles, they're not the job. She is the job.
Loving her, protecting her, she is the essence of your duty.
We have a new sovereign, young, and a woman.
I'll escort her down from there.
No, sir, if you don't mind, the crown takes precedence.
You don't think I would have preferred to grow up out of the spotlight, away from the scrutiny and the visibility?
Be firm, just lay down the law. I know he's Winston Churchill and all that, but remember who you are. You're
nobody.
The Queen of England.
This new Elizabethan age comes at a time when mankind stands on the edge of catastrophe.
You my wife or my queen?
I am both, and a strong man will be able to kneel to both.
I will not kneel before my wife.
Your wife is not asking you to.
But my queen commands me.
Yes.
I beg you make an exception for me.
No.
Is this? What kind of family?
I need to speak to my sister. No!
I am aware that I'm surrounded by people who feel that they could do the job better. Strong people with powerful characters, But for better or worse, the crown has landed on my head.
I have seen three great monarchies brought down through their failure to separate personal indulgences from duty. You must not allow yourself to make similar mistakes. The crown must win. Must always win.
The phrase, the crown must win, the crown must always win, epitomizes the frustration, the pain, the agony that we see as we watch this movie, because Queen Elizabeth II suffered greatly because of the crown. And it dawned on me as we were watching it, we just think, you know, she's got an amazing life. You know, she just clicks her fingers and they bring her tea. I want to click my fingers. No tea. It doesn't happen like that for us. We think she has an amazing life, but the truth is that she suffered greatly for the crown. It cost her. It cost her greatly. It cost her her freedom. It cost her ridicule. It cost her joy. It cost her her privacy. It cost her her childhood. It cost her so, so much. It cost her her education, and it cost her family relationships as you watch the series of The Crown. And the weight of the crown was costly to her. But yet, time and time again, she chose calling and duty over what her preferences might be, over self-indulgences. She suffered privately and she suffered publicly for the crown. And she endured a great amount of suffering. But Queen Elizabeth II was not the only one to suffer because of a crown. Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ, he suffered because of his crown of thorns that was laid on his head. And we see this in Matthew 27, verses 28 to 29. It'll be up on the screen. It says this, "And they," talking of the guards, "stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They wove thorn branches into a crown and put it onto his head. And they placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter. Then they knelt before him in mockery and taunted, 'Hail, King of the Jews!'" Jesus suffered. He was whipped. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was beaten. He was spat upon. He was rejected. And later he was even pierced. Because, and all the while, he had a crown of thorns adorned on his head. The scripture also tells us that he had a plaque above him that said, "King of the Jews," and it was written in three different languages. And both the crown of thorns and the plaque above his head were meant as a mockery to him. But God used that as a proclamation and not as a mockery, to say that, hey, he is the king. He is the king unlike any king, because he wears the crown of thorns and, as Cole said, took away the curse and all the punishment because of that. But he suffered. He suffered both publicly in his whipping and in his beating and in the placement of the crown of thorns, publicly on a cross. And they say that the cross was placed at the entrance and the exit of the city so that people coming in and people coming out of the city would have seen him. So it was a very public suffering. But you know, he also suffered privately. We see him in the Garden of Gethsemane praying to Jesus, and this is what he prays. And it's Matthew 26, verse 39. "And he went a little farther away, and he bowed with his face to the ground, praying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done and not mine.'" Christ asked for his cup of suffering, his portion of suffering to be taken from him. I don't know, does this sound familiar to you in any way? Anyway, have you ever asked God to take your suffering away from you? If you have, give me a wave. I know I have. I've asked him numerous times, "Please, I can't do this. This suffering thing, this thing I'm going through, it's too much. Take it from me." Well, you know, we all suffer daily, perhaps not as publicly as Queen Elizabeth II, not as publicly as Jesus on a cross, but privately. In our private places, we suffer. We could be suffering right now. You could be in this place and thinking, you know, I have been suffering. I have been in great pain, and nobody knows because it's my private suffering. Perhaps you're suffering because one of your family members has been diagnosed with a disease. Or you've lost a loved one really recently. Perhaps you've been trying to have a baby for years and years and have just had numerous miscarriages. And you've been suffering privately with infertility. Perhaps you've been suffering in a destructive or an abusive marriage. Perhaps you just can't get out of that cycle of suffering in your marriage. Perhaps you've just gone through a messy divorce and you can see that your children are suffering, you're suffering, your whole family is suffering. Perhaps you were abused as a child and it's impacted every single area of your life, suffering again. Perhaps you're suffering with an eating disorder, anorexia, bulimia, overeating. Perhaps it's debilitating anxiety or constant depression or financial liquidation or retrenchment. Or your child has just been diagnosed with some sort of learning disorder. Whatever it is that you may be experiencing, it might be painful, and perhaps it's very, very private. But what we need to know is that suffering is common to us all. We don't suffer alone. We're not the only ones who endure a cup of suffering. It's common to us all. You know, Pastor Byron and I have a very close friend of ours at the moment, and he is suffering. He's got cancer, and just this week, they've said to him that they have exhausted all options of treatment. He's gone through chemo, he's gone through radiation, and they told us just this week, and it's we're suffering, and his family are suffering, that there are no other options for him, and that he has a couple of months left to live. They're not sure how many months, but they said it's not years, but it's months. And he's suffering at the moment. And we watch from the sidelines, not knowing what to say, how to be there for them at this time, watching their family suffer. He just went on retirement to be with his family and his grandkids. And he just went into that phase of his life. And now this happens. And we're standing here and we're watching and we're saying, why, God? Why? This man has served you faithfully all of your life. Why did you allow so much suffering to come to such a good person? And why, if you're such a good God, would you allow so much suffering in this life? And you know, the answer is not a simple answer. And the answer is also an answer that we as church people, we don't like to proclaim that we know the answer, but we do have the answer. But it's just really a complicated, difficult answer to relay to people. And the answer is found in the book of Genesis. And it's found right in the beginning of the story, where God creates the heavens and the earth. He creates every single thing, plants, animals, and then he creates man, Adam. And a little later, he creates Eve out of the side of man. And then he says to them, I want you to trust me with your lives. I'm going to set up a way that you should live. I'm going to tell you, God says, what's good and what's evil. And all I'm asking of you is that you trust me and follow what I'm asking, what's good and what's evil. And Adam and Eve did well for a while. Then along came a serpent who persuaded them. And I don't think it took him a lot of persuasion. He says to them, hey, eat of the tree that God asked you not to eat of, because it's going to make you wiser than God. And so they thought to themselves, I think this is a great idea. You know, I don't need God. If I'm wiser than God, I don't actually need God and I don't need to trust him. What we need to know right from the start is God could have made Adam and Eve as robots. You will do this, you won't do this. But he gave them free choice. And because he loved them, he gave them free choice. If he didn't give them freedom of choice and just said, you will serve me, there's no love in that. And so he gave them free choice, but sadly they chose to not trust in God. They chose to trust in themselves and they chose to eat of the knowledge of good and evil, the fruit that represented that. And because of that, there were so many consequences, as Cole mentioned, that came in to their lives and as a result, our lives. So sin entered in through one man and has been passed on to us. Why? And you might say, well, that's fairly unfair. Like, I wasn't in the garden, you know. I don't think that doesn't work for me. But it's because we belong to the family of Adam that the sin of Adam is passed on. And because of this, this is what we experience. And it's all evident in Genesis 3. We experience broken relationship with others. Immediately they acknowledged that they were naked. They went running around to get clothes, mostly because they were ashamed to show each other their nakedness. Secondly, there was broken relationship with God. They had walked lovingly in the garden with God every single night as afternoon approached and had a friendship with him. And the moment they partook of that fruit, that relationship with God was broken. The third thing that entered in was hard work. They were just enjoying the garden and the animals and the fruit and enjoying tending to it. But God then punished them and said, well, now you'll go out of this garden and you are going to work, and thorns are going to enter the ground that you're going to be working, and it's going to be hard for you to make a living. The fourth thing that entered was physical pain and suffering. And so Eve used to clearly, don't really know this, but be able to give birth without pain. This is not something we know, ladies, right? We don't know this. But because of sin, Scripture tells us that she was now going to endure suffering in childbirth and pain. And finally, in Genesis 3:17, death would be part of the punishment. And so death is one of the things that says Adam came from dust and he would now return to dust. So that was one of the consequences. And so because of those original humans, they set up a standard of sin for us. And because of that, all of these things, broken relationships with others, with God, hard work, physical pain and suffering, and death have entered our lives. Now, if I left the story there, it would be fairly depressing. It would be like a serious Good Friday message where you would need to come back on Easter Sunday, you know, for the lift, you know, for the rest of the story. But I'm not leaving it there, okay? We can be grateful that the story continues, and that in Romans 8:28, it says that we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purposes for them. Everything. That pain, that suffering, that difficulty you are experiencing, even that joy. He causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. So if you love God, he's busy at work at the moment. He's working in your suffering. He's working in your pain. He's working in the things that are difficult for you in this moment, and he is working them for good. Another scripture in Romans says this, Romans 5, verse 3-5, it says this: more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope, which we have. But this only happens at a starting point of suffering. All of this only starts with suffering. Think of it like this. Anybody ever been for a medical? Just give me a wave. All right. In a medical, they are trying to assess your health and your fitness. And so they might start you on a treadmill at a fairly decent, you know, pace. They might start you at a walking pace and then put you at no incline, no gradient whatsoever. And you could probably do that for days. Just, you know, I can do this. This is easy. But in order for them to assess your actual health, they give you a gradient and they increase the speed. What is that? That's stress. And all of a sudden, I know me, that is a much more difficult experience when we're on the treadmill. You know, and then it does an accurate assessment of our fitness levels, an accurate assessment of our health. And suffering does the exact same thing. Suffering gives us an accurate assessment of the health of our souls. It gives us an accurate assessment of the strength of our spirituality. How deep are your roots, really? You know, always at the first hard thing, oh God, I can't serve you anymore. You know, the strength of your spirituality. And thirdly, it shows you the strength of your character, the depth of your spirituality and the strength of your character. And so whenever we are experiencing suffering, there is a revealing of these three things for us. It reveals all of these things. And so when the suffering comes, let's tell ourselves suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Now, I realize that this is a really hard analogy. Yes, yes, let's rejoice in our sufferings, is what the scripture says. I'm going to leave the rejoicing part because I feel like that's gone a little bit too far for this sermon. I feel like the fact that I'm talking about suffering and that we should be grateful for our sufferings because they do all the stuff in us, we'll just focus on that today. I'll let Pastor Steve preach on rejoicing in our sufferings another day. I'm going to focus for a moment on what it is we can learn through Jesus' suffering on the cross. How it is that we can suffer successfully. Because to be honest, we can suffer and we can fail. Or we can suffer and we can succeed. The thing we know for sure is that suffering's coming to us all. Pain is coming to us all. We are human. We're living in a human fallen world that is full of sin. And so we're going to suffer because of where we find ourselves, whatever that suffering might look like. So we can choose. Do I suffer successfully or do I suffer and fail? And so we're going to use Jesus as our ultimate example. The first thing we need to see from Jesus' life is that he suffered without losing his love for others. And I'm encouraging us, when we suffer, let's not suffer and lose our love for others. Let's still love others. And we see this so, so clearly. In Luke 24, verse 34, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." He didn't get bitter. He didn't get resentful. Instead, he said, "Father, forgive them." And so if you're suffering, if we're suffering, friends, let's take that posture. The posture that says they clearly don't know what they're doing. They don't know how much they are causing me pain. So, Father, would you forgive them? The next thing he says in Luke 24, 43 is, "I assure you, there's two criminals hanging on either side of him. The one is still mocking him. He's crucified on the cross with the guy next to him. The one is still mocking him. The other one is saying, 'Please, will you remember me when you get one day in paradise?'" And so Jesus still extends friendship towards somebody while in the midst of his own pain. Church, can I encourage you that when you experience suffering and pain, that you don't get resentful, that you don't get bitter, that you don't project all of your pain onto the people around you, but rather that you suffer and still love others. Don't withdraw from community. Don't withdraw from church. That only exacerbates the pain that you might be experiencing. And so I want to ask a question. Have you allowed your suffering to make you bitter? Have you allowed your suffering to make you resentful? And has it caused you to push others away? You know, Pastor Byron preached a powerful message a little while ago, and this is what he said. You can choose, you can't choose your circumstances, but you can choose your spirit. And church, I'm encouraging you to choose your spirit, not a spirit of resentment and bitterness, but a spirit that is still loving towards others. The second thing we see is that we can suffer, a way that we can suffer successfully without losing our faith in God. So without losing our love for others and without losing our faith in God. And we see this best when looking at Jesus' life. We find him first when he's arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And he's praying, "Father, if it is possible, could you take this suffering from me?" He didn't turn away from God in the moment of his deepest suffering. He moved towards God. He fell on his knees and prayed, and then he calls him Father, indicating, hey, I'm still in a relationship. Even though I know I'm about to go through this, I am still in relationship with my Father. The other time we see this is in Mark 15, where he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was distressed because there was a distance between him and God, which he'd not felt before. But he still says, my God, as a way of saying, you are still my Father. I am still in relationship with you. And so it's really important that as we go through our suffering, that we don't lose our faith in God. You know, just this season, in this corona year, we have seen so many people, sadly, fall away from their faith because they've gone through tough times. It's been really difficult, and they've lost their faith. One family in particular, a man who used to have a drinking addiction, in coronavirus time, he went back to his alcohol, and he became addicted again. And we have reached out numerous times to this family, but they have pushed everybody away and lost their faith in God. And it is so sad to see. Suffering's going to come, but don't allow it to take your faith away from God. We need to suffer successfully. The third way that we can suffer successfully is without losing our hope for the future. Without losing our hope for the future. Yes, we're living in a sin-filled world. Yes, there is pain. Yes, there is suffering. But our Jesus came and he took all of that upon himself on that Friday. And on Easter Sunday, he rose again, obliterating all of those things. One day, friends, you and I will be in eternity with our Lord and Savior. We have a hope for our future in eternity. And in heaven, there will be no more fear, no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, is what Scripture tells us. So we can suffer and have a hope for our future at the same time. Yes, it might not be perfect now, but one day, my Lord and Savior has won the victory. One day. The other reason that we can have hope is that we're not alone. We were not left to suffer on this life alone. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, our comforter, the one who comes alongside us and gives us his presence to help us. And so we get to choose, friends, how we're going to suffer, because we're suffering no matter what. Are we going to suffer successfully, or are we going to suffer and fail? And if we suffer successfully, we need to suffer without losing our love for others. We need to suffer without losing our faith in God, and we need to suffer without losing our hope for the future. And so you might be saying to me, well, Candace, that's all wonderful, but what do I do now in my suffering? Like, I know eternity is coming, but what do I do now? Well, again, we use the example of Jesus. And what did Jesus do in his suffering? He prayed. He prayed. And so, friends, you and I, in our suffering states, we need to pray. Whatever the pain we might be experiencing, we need to pray. And I believe we need to pray for these three things. And the keys is welcome to join me. We need to pray for this. Strength to endure our suffering. You know, sometimes we just need supernatural help. For God to give us that strength to help us in our suffering. We realize we can't do this alone. I am in pain. I am broken. I literally cannot take this next step. And so I need strength to help me in my suffering. The second thing we need to pray for is relief from our suffering. We can pray as Jesus prayed. Father, could you please take this cup of suffering from me in this moment? You know, and sometimes he'll take this cup of suffering from us, and sometimes he won't take the cup of suffering from us, but ultimately we can ask him, can you take this cup of suffering from me? And if he does, we can thank him. And if he doesn't, we will know that he is busy doing something in that pain, that he is working out our endurance. He is working out our character. He is working out our hope, but we can still trust him. We can still trust him. And the third thing we need to pray for is the insight to see what God is teaching us through our suffering. What are you trying to teach me, God? I'm not going to just suffer and fail. I want to suffer and succeed. So what are you teaching me? What am I learning in my suffering? What are you exposing? Is it the health of my soul? Is it the depth of my roots? You know, or is it my character that needs working on? Why am I suffering? And what am I learning in this situation? And you might be here watching online today. You might be here in the building. And you know what it is that you might be suffering with, from, your family might be suffering. It would be really my privilege and honor to pray with and for you if that's you today. I want to pray these three things over your life, that God would give you strength in your suffering, that if possible, he would relieve you from your suffering, and finally, that he would give you the insight, the wisdom to figure out what it is you're learning in this time of struggle and strife. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, if that's you today, if you're saying, Candace, I am struggling. Candace, really, I need you to pray with me and for me today. I'd love, it would be my honor and privilege to pray with and for you. If you just pop up your hand right now, I'll pray with you if that's you. If you're in the building, you're struggling, you want some prayer, I see those hands. So many hands. If you're watching online, just raise your hands to God as a way of saying to him, I'm suffering, can you help me? I'm going to pray for you. Father God, you've seen every single hand that is raised here. So many people in pain today. And God, I pray that we would suffer successfully, that we, as we suffer, that as we endure, that we would know that you are working together for good, everything, even this pain and even this suffering, even if we don't understand it. And so God, for every single hand that is raised, for those that are watching online now, I pray, Father God, that you would strengthen them with your Holy Spirit right now. Would you strengthen them? Would you encourage them? Would you give them the ability to take the next step, we pray, Father God. Second thing I want to pray for is, if at all possible, God, could you take their suffering from them? But ultimately, we want your will to be done. And so we leave that with you, knowing that we trust you and we love you and that you're a good and faithful God and you will do what's best for us in this moment. And finally, God, I pray that you would reveal to us. Would you reveal what it is you're trying to teach us in this season? What it is that you're trying to tell us? What it is you're wanting us to learn? God, if it's the strength of our character, would you show us? If it's the depth of our spirituality, would you show it? If it's the health of our souls, would you let it be clear to us, Father? We pray this in your name. As we continue in this moment of response with every head bowed and eyes closed, there's another category of people that I'd love to pray with and for today. Perhaps you're watching online and you've been suffering. Perhaps you're in the auditorium and you've been suffering. And you've used your suffering as a barrier between you and God. And your suffering has kept you from drawing close to God. And it's been almost like a roadblock that you've been coming up against. Well, today I believe that God is removing that barrier and moving that roadblock, and the way is clear for you to draw close to him. And today the invitation is for you to place your life, your hope, your faith, your joys, your suffering into his hands, just like Jesus did. It is to give your life to him and to surrender to him and to allow him to be present with you in everything. Allow him to love you, forgive you, cleanse you, and to write a new story with your life. Today, if that's you that I'm describing, then in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand and to respond to this invitation to invite Christ into your life. With every head bowed and eyes closed, if you respond today, all I'm going to do is pray a corporate prayer with and for you today. It's a simple prayer, a prayer inviting Jesus to take control of your life. Today, I want to encourage you to remove the barrier. It has been removed. The roadblock is gone because of the work that Jesus did on the cross. So take that step and draw near to him. Allow him to lead you and to direct your life. If you would like me to lead you in a life-changing prayer, a prayer of surrender, a prayer that has the power to change your life, then right where you are on the count of three, I'd like you to pop up your hand, and it would be my privilege to pray with you. If you're watching online, you could text "Follow Jesus" to the number that's come up below me. But if that's you in the building right now, on the count of three, would you pop up your hand? Number one, it's your moment to ask Jesus into your life. Two, take the bold step of faith. Three, raise your hand now. I'd love to include you in my prayer. If that's you, pop up your hand right now. I'd love to pray with and for you. The roadblock has been removed. Thank you. I see that hand over there. Thank you. I see that hand over there. I believe there's a few more. Thank you. I see your hand there. If you want to invite Jesus into your life, take that next step, then won't you raise your hand? I see your hand in the balcony. The roadblock has been removed. Christ wants to walk this road of life with you. Would you raise your hand right now? It would be my privilege to include you in this prayer. Just one last call. I believe there's one or two more people. Just pop up your hand now. I'd love to include you in this prayer. If you're feeling butterflies in your stomach, that's God. He's prompting you. See your hand in the balcony. Come on, church. Won't you pray this prayer after me? Dear Lord Jesus, for far too long, I've kept you out of my life. I know that all along, you've wanted a friendship with me, but that my sin has separated me from you. By faith, I receive your gift of salvation, and I'm ready to trust and follow you as the Lord of my life. I believe that you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins. Please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, and everybody said together, resounding, amen, amen.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.